4, and it is good to be back from vacation. It was great being on vacation, but great to be back. And this morning I want to continue and finish up our series of When Pigs Fly, as we've been looking at miracles. And of course, when pigs fly is a sarcastic kind of statement that says it's really not going to happen. And, you know, there are some times that people look at prayer and they look at faith and they say that'll only happen when pigs fly. They mean it's not going to happen. But you know what? We serve a God who can make pigs fly. We serve a God that can move mountains. We serve a God who can do the impossible. The things that we think are impossible are only possible with God. And so today we're going to finish up our series. We've looked at miracles of deliverance, of power over all the power of the enemy. We've looked at miracles of healing. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at miracles of protection and how the Lord watches out for his people and he protects us. Today I want to close this out by looking at miracles of provision, how God provides. So Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 19, and if you have it in your Bible, read with me. If you don't have your Bible with you, read from the screen with me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that was so short, we got to read it again. Plus, it's so powerful that we need to remind ourselves of it all over again. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we're going to be talking about miracles of provision today. Let's pray that God will speak to us this morning. Jesus, I come to you with a thankful heart for the many times that you've come through in my life. And Lord, today as I bring this thought, this principle, I pray that you will challenge our hearts to receive it and to believe it, Lord, and to experience it within our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Probably at some point in your life, and maybe you're here this morning and you're at that point, you've had times when there's more month than there is money. When money is tight. And this morning I want to bring you a word of encouragement. We're going to be looking at some different stories in the Bible and some different stories of provision and how God worked and how God came through. There's some thoughts, some principles that we've looked at in previous weeks that I just want to mention very quickly this morning before we really get into our subject. The first one is a key principle that we've looked at, and that is this, that we do what we can and we ask God to do what he alone can. We do what we can, and we ask God to do what he alone can. Now, we've also talked about how a miracle is when God in heaven intervenes here on earth. So, a miracle is divine intervention, supernatural intervention. It is not. If you're golfing and you put it in the hole in two, that, you know, that might be outstanding, but it's not a miracle. So, some other thoughts that I want to just reinforce as we go into this, because they apply to all kinds of miracles. Last week, we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how long before you have a problem, God already has a plan. God is in control. And another important principle, and this is something that is so important in any part of life, and that is, you don't wait to worship after the miracle, you worship in advance. I don't just give God thanks after the miracle takes place, but I am thanking God in advance when I pray for what is about to happen. Worship comes in advance of the miracle. Now, as you read through the scriptures, there are a lot of stories of people who had need, and you also find provision. God had a way of meeting their needs. People who thought that there was no way they could ever have enough. And you discover that, and here's our first thought for today, that in every story of need, there is a miracle of provision. In every story of need, there is a miracle of provision. The New Testament tells the story of how Jesus was teaching to thousands of people on a hillside. The day went by rather quickly as he was speaking, and the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, we better let these people go because they're very hungry." And you know, as an encouragement to all preachers everywhere, they were saying, "Lord, you've been speaking a very long time. And they weren't hungry when you started, but they sure are hungry now." And so Jesus looked at them and said, "You feed them." And they said, "Lord, like, there is no way we could ever get enough food here. We don't have enough money. It's an impossibility. It can only happen when pigs fly," is basically what they were saying. And so Jesus, being God, looks at them and says, "Well, go see how much food you have." And you can imagine Peter looking at John and saying, "Let's humor him. Like, we'll go do it, but you know there's not enough food here to feed this crowd." And so they begin to go through the crowd, and they come back and they said, "Well, Master, we found a little boy had his lunch, and he was thinking ahead," or his mom was thinking ahead. "He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and what is that for so many?" You ever have that feeling when it comes to provision? What is what I've got for so many? And then Jesus did something they didn't expect. He took those loaves and he took the little bits of bread, probably more like rolls, and he took the little fishes, probably like sardines or something. It's a boy's lunch. And he blesses them. And he breaks them up. Now there are 12 disciples. I was thinking about this. 5 little loaves, 2 little fishes, and he breaks them up among 12 apostles. So that means each one of them gets just under half a piece of bread, or half a loaf of bread, and each one of them gets 1/6, I don't know how they did this, 1/6 of a piece of fish. That's not very much. And I've got to think that Peter, you know, Peter was the mouthpiece. I mean, he was always the guy to say what he thought. And the Bible doesn't record it, but I've got a feeling that Peter is looking at what he's got in his hands, and he's looking at John next to him and saying, "This is never going to work. Look at this, I can hold it in my hand." And then Jesus tells his disciples, "All right, start giving it to the people." And Peter is thinking, and then I'm picking on Peter here. Peter is thinking, "This is going to be quick, because this isn't even enough for me." And so he hands off the fish, and I don't know if they had baskets, they must have. He hands out a piece of fish and a piece of bread, and he says, "That's it, that's all is done." And he looks in his little basket, and there's another piece of fish and another piece of bread, and he hands it off and says, "Where did that come from?" And he hands it off, and he looks over at John, and John's got a kind of weird look on his face because he handed off a piece of bread and a piece of fish to a guy, and he looks down and he's got more, and he knew there wasn't more there when he started. But you see, that's the thing about God is that when you come to the impossibility, God takes what you have and says, let me see what I can do. Our problem is we say, let me take what I have and see what I can do. And here's the thing that happened. You know, after a while, after the first few, I think Peter's got a big old smile on his face because he's saying, I'm in the middle of a miracle right here. He's handing out bread. He's handing out fish. He's handing out bread. He's handing out fish. He looks in the basket. There's just one piece. He hands it out. And that's the way I see it happening. He looks and there's a piece of fish. He hands it out and he looks down. There's another piece of fish. And where did that come from? But that's a God thing. And I will tell you that when you trust God, that there are times you look down and you got a piece of fish and you got a piece of bread. And you give away the piece of fish and you give away the piece of bread. And you say, that's it. That's all. And then you look down and miraculously, there's another piece of fish. There's another piece of bread. There's another coin. There's another dollar. There's something there to give. God has a way of coming through. Not only that, you see, my God's not a cheapskate. You know, my wife and I have an argument. Well, no, not an argument. Discussion. Every time we have an event, she's got it all carefully calculated. About how much, you know, how much food there should be and all that, and I'm not good at that. And I always come along and I say, I don't know if that's going to be enough. We should have more. Like, you know, if you think that we need 12 dozen hamburgers, then why don't we get 14 dozen? Just in case. She's usually right. And here's the thing about God, that sometimes we picture God as a penny-pinching little miser in heaven that just has a little coin purse and he just kind of gets a penny out now and again and drops it on you. But Jesus was sending a clear message here. They came through, they hand out all the bread and fishes, and then Jesus says, okay, guys, I want you to go through and I want you to collect the garbage. Like, I want you to go through and collect the pieces that are left over. And you can imagine Peter looking at John and saying, well, this ought to be easy. We'll just walk through and we'll humor Jesus and we'll just, you know, we'll do what he said, but it's not going to be anything because we had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and we had nothing and we didn't, you know, we were handing it out and you saw what happened, but there's not. And they went through the crowd and there were 12 basketfuls left over. Now imagine that. They start out with 5 and 2. They come back with 12 baskets full of stuff. And I thought, well, Lord, why is that there? And I think what the Lord was saying was this. I don't think it's any mistake. There were 12 baskets full. Because Jesus was saying, you didn't believe that I could do it. Now I'm going to give you a doggy basket to take home with you because I'm the God of, I'm the God of the overflow. I'm the God that does exceeding and abundantly above. He does exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. It's a reminder. God can take your little and turn it into much. Let me tell you about the Old Testament. There was a prophet named Elisha who was talking to a widow. She had her sons. Her husband had died, left her in debt. The law said that the person who owned the debt could take her sons as his servants or slaves until they worked off the debt. Well, of course, she didn't want to see that happen. And Elisha comes by and he says, what's the problem? She tells Elisha what the problem is. And he says, well, what do you have in your house? And she says, nothing. I got nothing. I got a little bit of oil. That's what I've got. Other than that, I got nothing. You ever feel like you got nothing? ever feel like there's just nothing to work with? There's nothing. If I had something, I could do something, but all I've got is this little bit. And sometimes we do that with our own talents and abilities. You know, if I could sing like somebody else, or if I could play like somebody else, or if I was smart at computers like somebody else, and we talk ourselves out of a miracle. So she said, well, all I have, I got a little bit of oil, and that's it. And so Elisha said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in your house, and I want you to close the door, and I want you to get all the buckets you've got, all the containers you've got, and I want you to take your oil, I want you to pour it out into these other buckets, and then I want you to take the oil and sell it and pay your debt. And she, like so many of us, was looking at the prophet going, I know how much oil I have, and I don't have very much oil. I know the little bit that I've got is not enough to do what you're telling me to do. But she said, okay, I will go try. If you're familiar with the story, they went into her house, she and her sons, and she takes her little bit of oil that she has, and she starts to fill up another bucket or another container, and she fills it up. And so that's funny, there's more in there than what I thought. And she says, bring me another one. They bring another one. She pours it in. She says, wow, this is bigger than what I thought it was. And they bring another one. And finally, they filled up everything they've got in the house. And she says to her sons, I don't know what's going on here, but this is still, go to the neighbor's house and get every container they've got and bring it in. And so they go to the neighbor's house. They bring containers. She's looking at that bucket and saying, wow, there's certainly more in this than what I ever thought there was. And she keeps pouring, and she keeps pouring, and they bring all the neighbor's buckets, and they finally got everything the neighbors had, and she keeps pouring. I said, wow, that's a big one. She keeps pouring, and she keeps pouring. It looks so small, but you see, when God is in it, God takes the small that you have and turns it around to meet the situation. The only time the oil ran out was when they ran out of containers to put the oil in. Because, you know, whether it's bread from heaven, you know, Israel was starving to death, and God said, hey, Moses, step aside just for a minute. All of a sudden, there was food coming down out of heaven. Imagine it. And they looked at it, and they said, it literally means, what is it? Manna. They said, what is it? We've never seen this before. This doesn't happen. It's not coming off a tree. It's falling out of heaven. And you know, God said, you know what? Every day you go out and pick up food, and on the sixth day you pick up enough food to last you for 2 days for the Sabbath, and you're going to have to do that every day. And I don't have time to tell you all about it, but it's a picture of Christ, who is the bread of life, and how he provides for us. And you need to get Christ in your life every day of your life. And then they said, we're tired of this bread. We want meat. And you know, meat's expensive. And so, you know, God and Moses had a conversation, and God said, look, what is with these people anyway? I give them manna, and they're tired of manna. They're saying, we want something to be, well, manna every day. Like, what's for breakfast? Fried manna. What's for dinner? Boiled manna. What's for supper? Hash manna. What are you going to have for a snack? Air-dried manna. They said, we're hungry. We want more. We want meat. So all of a sudden, God said, you want meat? Okay. He sent a flock of quail, drops down right in the middle of the camp. They said, woo, meat. Because you see, God provides. God provides. Maybe it's a giant fish. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Do you know when Jonah, that rebellious prophet, went on the run because he didn't want Nineveh to turn their hearts to God? He went on the run, and isn't that so funny? God says, go to Nineveh, which is over here. He says, I'm going to Tarshish, which is over here, as far as he could go. Isn't it funny when we decide to run from God? In this case, he gets on a boat, storm comes up. Long story short, the sailors throw him overboard. That should be the end of Jonah. But the Bible says that God prepared or provided a great fish. The fish was not an instrument of destruction or judgment. The fish was God's instrument of grace and protection and provision. Because if God hadn't created the fish, and, you know, here's my God. They didn't have GPS back then, but God's better than any GPS. And somehow God prepares a fish. He parks that fish in the middle of the sea that they're crossing, and he says, I want you right here. Because that's where they're going to throw Jonah overboard. They don't know it yet. I feel like singing, but even when I don't see it, and even when I don't feel it, he never stops. You see, God was saying, I'm going to make a way, not in the desert this time, I'm going to make a way in the sea where there is no way, because Jonah was probably like some of you who couldn't swim. But God said, I'm going to park a fish in just the right place at the right time. And you can be a doubter if you want to. But somehow, in the middle of the storm, Jonah got from where he was in the middle of the sea to the dry land somehow. Now, if you struggle with that, you bear with me, because I just believe what the Bible said, that God made a fish, parked it there, and said, swallow him up. And you know what? That fish was a miserable ride. I can't imagine being in a fish for 3 days. I can't imagine. I don't know how God did it. Definitely probably wasn't air conditioned. Water cooled. And the fish probably was, you know, still feeding. And I picture Jonah in that fish, huddled up, seaweed wrapped around his head. You know, we have the sanitized version that God had a hotel room in the middle of a fish. You see, there are some times that your disobedience, that God through his grace will provide protection. But it doesn't mean you're going to be comfortable. Oh, I'm not going to get through this. You see, there are some times that you walk in disobedience to God, and you're thinking, at first you think, where's the lightning bolt? And there is none. And God will let you go your way, but at some point, you see, the fish was his turnaround. The fish was the point of reality. And if it hadn't been for the fish, it would have been one dead prophet. But God said, Jonah, I'm not done with you. And let me tell you here today, you might make mistakes and you might find yourself in the belly of a fish and it's uncomfortable, but realize that God used the fish for protection and God used the fish for a reality check. He turns him around. I think of him in the bottom of the ocean. The Bible says that he began to call out to God in the middle of the ocean while he was at the bottom. He said, I was down. The bars of hell were all around me. He said, I was so far down that there was no coming up. I couldn't see anything. He's in pitch black darkness. Can you imagine 3 days of that? And he says, but then I turned my face toward Jerusalem. I don't know how he did that. But he said, I'm looking, I think, where Jerusalem is. I'm looking to where the temple is. I'm looking to where God is, because I might be in the fish right now. But I know that if I'm in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a fish, if I call out to God, that God is able to hear my prayer. And you, now, you might be in the belly of the fish. And what you need to stop doing is trying to kill the fish. You see, sometimes we want to kill the fish. We want to, you know, I got a little knife in my sock. And I want to just kind of Make a way out. You know what would have happened if Jonah had done that? He'd have died. And there's sometimes you get in the belly of the fish and God is bringing you through. Trust God in the process. Trust God in the process. Oh, I'm supposed to be talking about provision, aren't I? But in every story of need, every story, God works in all different kinds of ways. You know, I came across a little story about a woman who had been widowed and she didn't have much, but she was a very fervent Christian. And she was always praying, God, you're going to supply my need. God, you're going to supply my need. And so one day she was praying and her neighbor, who was an atheist who hated God, didn't believe in God but hated him, heard her praying and said, I'm going to fix her. I'm going to fix it. So he went down to the grocery store. He brought 3 or 4 bags of groceries, brought them back, set them on her doorstep, hid in the bushes to see what would happen when she found the groceries. He kind of knocked on the door and ran. She came to the door, looked at the groceries, threw her hands up and said, thank you, Jesus, because you provided me with groceries. He jumped out of the bushes and he said, you old fool. You old fool. It wasn't God. It was me. And you there praising God. It wasn't God. There is no God. It was me. And he stood there in amazement as the story goes, and she threw up her hands again. And she said, thank you, Jesus, for the groceries. And Lord, you used the devil's money to pay for it. Do you know? I know that's a funny little story. But do you know? There are some times that God brings provision out of nothing. There are other times that God uses people and things that you never thought of. There are, you know, I serve a God who is able to take the devil's money and use it for good. That money's neutral. I think that there are some times that God looks over and he sees some old reprobate has got a lot of money and says, you know what, you got too much. And my child over here needs a little boost. And so you're going to do it, and you're not even going to know why you're doing it. You're just going to do it. Because you see, God doesn't always say, this is me doing it. He just says, you're going to do it. You never felt like giving anybody money before, but you're going to put $500 in an envelope, and you're going to hand it over there, and you don't even know why you're doing it. And by the way, not everybody who does that is reprobate. Please don't think that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that God can take the devil's money. And he can hear and answer a saint's prayer. God provides in all different ways. Philippians 4:19, our text said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I've got to stop up here and tell you that God promises to meet your needs, but he's never promised to provide your wants. Sometimes we struggle with that idea because we misinterpret what God is saying. See, there's a difference between what we need and what we want. We all need clothes to wear. We want designer duds. We need rest. What I want is a 14-day cruise. Hey, if you want to bless me with that, I'll take it. We need shelter. What we want is granite countertops, sub-zero appliances, a walk-in closet, and a two-car garage, because you know I need two cars, even though I can only drive one at a time. We need transportation, and sometimes that's the bus and metro. Sometimes it's the clunker. You know, but I want a Mercedes G-Wagon is what I really want. God didn't say he would provide. I've often said, God said he would provide my needs, not my greeds. There are all kinds of things that I can think of that I could imagine that I really want. But God said, I will supply all of your needs. Sometimes we get angry with God because he doesn't supply the thing that my greedy little heart is asking for. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't prosper you. It doesn't mean that God wants you to be poor. I don't believe that. But I do believe that sometimes we misinterpret the promise and then we get angry with God because I don't get what I specifically asked for. I might want a fully loaded Harley-Davidson, but I'm content with my bicycle. You know, I might want that big house out in Centerville sitting on the water with the great view. But I don't need it. And I couldn't afford the taxes. He said, I will supply all of your need. Now, let me take you. Here's a second principle. When God guides, he always provides. When God guides, he always provides. I can tell you, when we first moved here to Montreal, the church was very small. And we kind of made a commitment to God that for the first year or so that we were going to do everything we could just invest in the church, like time and energy and all of that. And I think back to those days, and I still don't know how God did it. I really couldn't tell you. Our family income went to less than half between my wife and I. And we'd had a place provided to live, and then we were renting an apartment on top of that. And I look back, and I still don't know how God did it. But he did. And we never went hungry. The rent was always paid. Now, this is my experience. Your experience may be different, but this is my experience that God always had a way of coming through. And there were times that, you know, because I'm human too, that I'd stay awake at night because I'm the guy, the provider, I got to do this. And lay awake at night, and I still don't know how it all happened. I just know that when there was a little bit of oil and there was a whole lot of need, that somehow God took the little bit that we had and he just kind of, I don't even know how, I cannot tell you explicitly how it happened. I just know that when I looked at it and said, this does not work. I've mentioned before, I'd make a budget and I'd start adding up everything that was coming in, and then I'd add up everything that had to go out. Not what I wanted, but what had to go out. And I'd get all, you know, the guy thing, quiet. You know, what's wrong with you? Nothing. And so my wife would figure it out, and then she would say, look, like, everything's getting paid. Just put that thing in the drawer, because, you know, she preaches to me. And so she'd say, put that thing in the drawer. God's always seen us through. And I can tell you that God always had a way. He's always provided from then until now. I don't have a sad story to tell you about, you know, how I don't. I just know that God always found a way to come through. And there were some times that there wasn't very much in the bank account. You know, even as a church, There were some times that if we had $100 in the bank, we thought, wow, we're living large. And I look around and I think, look what the Lord has done. If you had told me in those days that we'd spend $500,000 on the building and owe $70,000, I'd say, you're crazy. Like, it's impossible. But where God guides, God provides. Let me take you to Isaiah. I've got to finish this up. I'm not done, but I'm going to finish. Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord will guide you continually. Notice this, giving you water when you are dry, restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. I read that passage and it triggered something in my mind. You know, Psalm 23, we read it at a lot of funerals. But if you don't have it underlined, starred, and highlighted, you're missing a blessing. Psalm 23, if you got your Bible, I'm going to read it in the King James because it doesn't seem right in any other translation. David said, you know what? David knew what it was to be on the run. He knew what it was to even be hungry sometimes. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in brown, dusty, dry pastures. No, that's not what he said. He said, he makes me to lie down. Oh, I feel almost like I need somebody on the organ to do a little something there. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. They tell me that sheep would only drink from still waters. He said, he brings me to a place where there's lots to eat and the water is cool. Notice this. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And notice verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The New Living said, you prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. I've got to bring this in for a landing. We're still at 30,000 feet. He said, now here, I have this quirky sense of humor sometimes. Here's my picture of this verse. I see a long table with white linen. I'm picturing a candelabra lit. I'm picturing the finest china with one chair. Fine china. God doesn't skimp. He brings out the good stuff. It's kind of, now this is just how I see it. It's in a valley. All around it, there's enemy armies standing there with sword and shield. Now, this is just my picture. Allow me to elaborate, okay? And they've come to get after David. They want to kill him. And David said, you see, remember I said a long table? Because, you see, God wasn't just going to give him a Happy Meal from McDonald's. The New Living said, you prepare a banquet. I think it was like a 5 or 7 course meal that was sitting on the table. And now I'm extrapolating, okay? This is my imagination. You may see it differently. I picture that God sends, this is just my picture, I picture God sends an angel. Says, David, come on. We're going to eat out here in the green valley. Let me pull back your table, your chair, sir. Sit down, enjoy.
served the first course. Now, I don't know who was serving, but he serves the first course. And the enemies of David are all around him, and they're looking, and what is going on? David's, you know, the enemies are there. They're beating, probably beating their shields a little bit and doing that whole thing that soldiers do sometimes. And David is sitting there, and he's like, that soup is delicious. And he moves on to the salad, and he says, those tomatoes are fresh. And then that lettuce is crispy, crunchy, and he crunches, and as he crunches it, his enemies are hearing the little crunch, and they're like, what on earth? And, now, that's my picture. And he gets to the roast beef, because you got to have roast beef, because I'm from the Maritimes. You got to have roast beef and gravy and potatoes. And he gets his knife out, and he's ready. And David's reminding himself, you prepare a table. You prepare a banquet. And my enemies are looking on and saying, what's going on with him? And I think David was saying, you don't know the God that I serve. Because not only does he give me a table, but he anoints my head with oil so the bugs won't bother me. And he my cup runneth. Did you notice that? He didn't say my cup is half empty. He didn't say my cup is part full. He said, but my God, my cup, it's running over. I'm in the presence of my enemies. Your enemies are probably not people. Your enemies may be circumstances or ideas or things that drain you. But you serve a God who is able to provide. And I'm not going to finish this. I'm done. Stand with me, would you? You serve a God who says, when the heat is on and when your enemies are rattling around you, maybe I'm speaking to somebody here this morning specifically. He was saying, David, when the heat is on, you cannot eat. Truly eat, at least I can't, a banquet when you are stressed, when you are totally scared out of your mind. Now, I know there are some people who eat in those situations, but most people, you're not. Because what David was saying is, you bring me into a place of peace. Even when my enemies are around me doing everything they can to distract me, you bring me to a place of peace where I can discover the blessing of God. Miracles of provision. I know if we took time for testimonies this morning, there would be those of you who would tell stories as I can. Of how you prayed. And sometimes it comes out of the blue. Sometimes God uses another person. And maybe I'll finish this up next week because I really think it's important. But you have your story of how God came through. When you prayed and said, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know how this is going to happen. It may have been finance. It may have been a job. It may have been a situation in your life that you needed not only material provision, but you needed the internal strength to get through. And you called on Jesus. And I can tell you from experience that the moment you call on his name, you might not have it in your hand right then. But there's the peace of God that begins to move over your spirit and your soul. And your enemies are still rattling their weapons, but you're in the middle of the peace of God. And God is saying, watch me prepare a table in the midst of your enemies. Because you're not worrying about them right now, because you're eating at my table. This is my place.
And that place is not just in the church building. That place is when you go to God and God brings you that strength that you never knew you had. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now?
In the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, somebody's faith is reaching out to you. God, right now, you're doing something here.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just go ahead and reach out to God. Go ahead and reach out to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 At this moment, I've been waiting because there's somebody that God has been speaking to. We believe that God speaks to us not only through the Word and through the ministry of the Word, but the Bible talks about spiritual giftings and spiritual gifts, and talks about the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And I've been feeling like God's wanting to speak to us right now. I've been waiting. But I feel a word, and I just feel like God is saying to somebody here today, I haven't forgotten you in your storm. But when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. Don't let the fire discourage you, because I will bring you out on the other side of the fire. Now, I don't know who that's for today, but I feel very strongly that God is speaking to somebody here this morning. And I want you to take that, and I want you to lay hold of it. I don't do that. That doesn't happen very often. I don't do that very often, but I feel like that God is speaking to somebody here today and telling you, take hold of it, grab hold of it. It's a word from God. Now, we're going to sing. And I'm going to invite you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'd like to invite you to discover him today. The God who can provide food, the God who can provide things, is also the only one who can provide for your spiritual need. He did that at the cross. And today, he waits for you. For you to say, yes, Lord. For you to say, I need forgiveness. You may be here today and you need strength in your life and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is God's presence and strength within your life to empower you to live for God. As we sing this morning, maybe you have another need in your life and you'd like to have prayer. I want to invite you as we sing this, God is here. And there's something supernatural happening at this moment. As we sing, I'd like to invite you to step out of your seat and come down to the front. We're going to pray together. You say, well, Pastor, my life's going pretty good right now. That's great. Come on down to the front and pray with somebody else. Because you're not blessed just to be blessed. You're blessed so you can bless other people. And as we sing, I'm going to open the altar for prayer. God is here and there's something that's going to happen. A divine intervention. God's doing something here right now. Sing.
Because of who you are.